encounter with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. As Brother Robert said, my father-in-law is the former pastor here, and his father was the former pastor here as well, Brother Thompson. I'm not sure if he started the church, but I think he did. So I give honor to those who were here before you. I give honor to Pastor Robertson and his family for having us. Certainly don't take this lightly. I feel honored and blessed to be here. Thankful that my family is here. Wow. Two beautiful daughters and a beautiful wife that God has blessed me so much with. My daughter was almost as excited as I was to come. I got a couple of text messages. She said, "I'm going." So she was excited to come as well as my wife and daughter. And I'm thankful to have my guy here, Brother Roberts from my home church, here in my corner. I'd ask you to come and testify, but maybe not today, maybe next time. He's the first face I see on Sunday mornings, and I'm glad to do it. He's always been a tremendous friend and blessing to me, him and his daughters, when I was their co-youth pastor. And so I'm thankful he decided to come out today, and I'm thankful you're here. I feel like God has something for you today. I know God has something for you today. If there ever is a day and time where we need God, it's now. It's now. So I'm going to take my scripture text today from the book of Nehemiah, reading four verses for you today. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. One, the verse reads, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakilkiah, and it came to pass in the month Chislah, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, that the palace, that Hanai, one of my brethren, came, he and a certain man of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left out of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they came unto me, the remnant that are left of the capacity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down." Everyone say broken. "And the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass that when Nehemiah had heard these words, he sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And it came to pass when he had heard these words that he sat down and he wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." I want to talk to you for just a little while on this subject: bruised for the broken. Bruised for the broken. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I love you. Jesus, you are amazing and awesome in this place. There is no God beside you. There is no God like you. You are Jehovah Jireh, my help, my provider. And God, in the midst of this people, God, your presence is here today. God, I ask you, Lord, that you move from front to back, from side to side. God, that your spirit would set the captive free in this place. God, that your power and anointing, God, would heal someone. God, that someone's burdens might be lifted in this house. God, we've come with expectation of a move of your Holy Ghost and of your spirit. God, touch your laborer today. Touch your anointed word, God, as it goes forth. Help us, Lord, to come out of this place made different and made new. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. Last year, the powerful search engine by the name of Google, I'm sure you've heard of it, it does this every year, but it comes up with a name for the year. It does it in 2016 and 2017, and it did it in 2020 as well. It came up with this phrase for the year 2020. The year of the question was what Google called the year 2020. It was the year of the question. So I looked up some of those questions, and I wasn't shocked by any stretch of the imagination. Maybe I had a couple of them, but the number one asked question in 2020 was, what is the coronavirus? Question number two is, who really won the election? Question number three was, how much will my stimulus check be? Question number four is, when will my stimulus check arrive? Question number five, why so serious? Question six, why am I so tired? Question number seven, and the young people in this place, and maybe some of us not so young anymore, where is my phone? Question number eight, how do I lose weight? Nine, can I really be forgiven? 10, how do I drive out hate? 11, what can I do to make a difference? 12, how do I drown out racism? And number 13, how can I live fearlessly? These were the top 14 questions asked in the year of the question. Google titled it the year of the question. 2020, the year of the question. So it's early. It's January of 2021. Well, if the year 2020 was the year of the question, I say the church declare that the year 2021 ought to be the year of the answer. Because in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Listen, there's a lot of questions that have existed in 2020, but in 2021, I've come to tell somebody that Jesus Christ is the answer to whatever it is you walk through, whatever it is you go through, whatever it is you face. Jesus Christ is the answer. Although I believe in science, I'm a science teacher by day. I teach sixth grade science, and that's awesome. And I teach social studies in sixth grade in a middle school, and that's awesome. And I believe in science. You know, I believe that we need modern medicine to cure coronavirus. I believe that. But I also believe that Jesus Christ is still the healer. I still believe that we need a new president, but I also believe that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords, and as long as he's in control, the church is going to be all right. Let me say that again. As long as Jesus Christ is on the throne, as long as he reigns, the church is still going to be all right. He's in control. He holds the world in his hand. He created the moon and the stars. His name is Jesus, and he is the answer in 2021. So look around your world, church. Look around your state. Look around your community. Look at your next door neighbor. What or whose responsibility is it to tell them that answer? If he is the answer, whose job is it to tell him or tell them about the broken? Nehemiah here, he talked. He talked about how he had returned to a place, how he had been gone for a little while. You know, sometimes when we leave home as parents and we have, or my wife has, let me apologize for that. So when the house is all clean and it's all neat, and it's all beautiful, and the sweeper's been run, and the dishwasher's been run, and everything's been put away. And then we go off for a little while, and we come home, and all of a sudden, everything is out of place. What happened? Well, the kids got off the toys, and they had friends over, and confetti's everywhere, and ice cream's everywhere, and cakes everywhere. And we think to ourselves, well, this isn't the way we left it, Pastor. But that's the way we got. We found it when we got back. And so Nehemiah, it wasn't the way he left it. And let's just be honest. This isn't the world that some of us grew up in. It's not the way we left it, but it's the way it's right now. It's broken. The walls have been torn down. The church is looked at as a place where we can come and we can worship, but not everybody believes in a risen Savior. Our world is in a difficult place. Our world is broken. Our world is hurt. And yes, we stepped out of it, but it's not the way we left it. But when we go outside those doors, we realize, hey, I live in a broken world. So Nehemiah, he walks back to his city and he finds it not the way he left it. But man, I love this story. Now, I didn't grow up in Sunday school. We'll get to that here in a few minutes. But the Bible is full of great men, from Moses to Paul. Every single one of them changed their world around them. They are some of my favorite Bible stories. But when I read this story about Nehemiah, I began to think, you know what? I'm going to move that one up to the top of my story. Here's simply why. Because he came broken for his city. He began to weep and to cry for his city. He said, you know what? Who's gonna save my city? Who's gonna make a change in my city? Who's gonna cry for my city? Who's gonna pray for my city? Who's gonna save my neighbor? Who's gonna save my lost loved one? Who's gonna bring my lost son or daughter home? Who's gonna do it? Nehemiah said, I don't have talent. I don't have ability. I don't have much, but what he did have is the same thing that you and I have in this place tonight. He had the ability to fall on his knees. He had the ability to fall on his face. He had the ability to fast and to weep and to mourn for his city. You want to know who's going to change your city? You want to know who's going to change your work? You want to know who's going to change your neighborhood? It's the person who decides it's about time that I get down on my knees. It's about time that I sacrifice. It's about time that I surrender for somebody else. I oftentimes tell people this, and as a former youth pastor and now working in a different type of ministry, I always tell somebody, and if I could tell you tonight this simple but solemn news, get ready to fall out of your seat. Get ready for your mind to be blown. God didn't save you just to save you. Bible says we're overcomers by the power of our testimony. Why did God give it to you? Why did he plant it in your life? Why did he save you? Why does he keep you? Why does he bless you? Why does he anoint you? Why does he give you a beautiful church to come into? It's not for you. Praise God, you've got the Holy Ghost. Praise God, you're saved and sanctified. Praise God, you're blessed. Praise God, your bank account is full. Praise God, you got a car to get into. Praise God, you got a house to get into. But what about the person that lives next door that doesn't have nothing, that's lost and alone, and they're going to spend eternity somewhere? That's why God saved you. That's why God anointed you. That's why God has blessed you, so you can become bruised for the broken. And that's what Nehemiah was. He saw the brokenness and he fell on his face and he began to weep and he began to cry. What's amazing about this story of Nehemiah is the Bible didn't say he was a priest. He didn't call him a prophet. They didn't call him a warrior. He wasn't even a king. He was just a man that became bothered by his world. Does this world bother you? Are you okay with what's going on in the world? Are you all right with what's going on? And are you okay with your city being lost? Are you okay with your lost son or daughter being lost? It's not about us. It is about the broken. I love this part because Nehemiah was just a man who was bothered by something. Jerusalem had been broken. The walls had been broken down in our city or world. And he just began to, he come back and he began to fall on his face and weep for God. He was just a man. Nothing special. No God-given talent. Bible just said he was just Nehemiah. That's all he was. I'm just going to be as real and as authentic as I can be right now. I haven't always dressed like this. I haven't always had a bow tie on. I haven't always had a dress shirt on and nice slacks on. I haven't always had a beautiful family. This is not how I grew up. Not by any stretch of the imagination. This wasn't who I used to be. I was like Nehemiah. I was just a man. You see, when I was 8 years old, and I'm only going to share parts of this. If I'm ever blessed enough or lucky to come back, I'll share more. But when I was 8 years old, my mom overdosed on crack cocaine. I've never known my father. My brother spent 15 out of 20 years in a federal penitentiary. I seen violence. I seen immorality. I seen my mom bruised and broken. I seen her collarbone broke, her teeth knocked out, thrown down the steps. I seen my brother fight with men and men upon men upon men that would visit my home. Back and forth. I was in 8 different foster homes between the age of 8 and 18. But here's the reality of that situation, church. Is that somebody became bruised for Tim Stoltz. Somebody fell on their knees and wept for me. Someone thought enough of me to one day go to an altar and say, God, I don't know what you've got to do. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you need to save that kid. You need to sanctify that kid. You need to bring him out of darkness. You need to put him in a platform. He's got a testimony to tell. He's got a story to tell. And so that's what God did. When I was 18, someone invited me to a church. And I apologize, brother Roberts. You could talk to me later. I was a bit offended. 18 years old, I was homeless at the time. I didn't have a place to live. And the pastor said, the bishop, Nelson Paymer at the time, he was the pastor. He said, Tim, we love you. I'm from the projects. Don't you know, when I was 17, 18, almost 18 years old, I went to jail. Don't you know that my mom's addicted to drugs? Don't you know I come from a fatherless home? Don't you know I'm bruised and broken? It was weird for somebody to tell me they loved me. I had never heard it. And I would go to church and people would wrap their arms around me and they'd say, oh, we're so excited to see you. We love you. You bunch of weirdos. We love you. You don't even know me. Week after week, that old Pastor PJ, he'd invite me back. And I used to tell my friends at school, man, I'm going to this church. Hey, they're weird. Hey, what's weird about them, Brother Roberts? Well, they're putting their arm around me and telling me they love me. That's just weird. But let me just tell you why I'm saved. Because of a bunch of weirdos who told me they loved me, who wrapped their arms around me when I was broken, when I didn't know any better. When I didn't know Jesus, where I didn't love him, where I didn't serve him, where I didn't even know what to do. But they wrapped their arms around me and said, you know what? Let me love you a little bit. You know where that love can come from? It ain't from being weird. It's having the Holy Ghost. It's from being baptized in Jesus' name. It's from being saved. You know why God saved you? So you can bless somebody else. Woo! So Nehemiah said, I'm not okay. Nehemiah said, I'm not all right. This ain't good. I'm not okay with the way this city is. And so that's what Nehemiah did. The same thing the church in 2021 needs to do. We need to get to work. We need to start loving people. We need to start putting our arms around people and letting them know that they're loved. We live in a broken world. I often think about all my friends, and you know, when you hit a certain age, Brother Roberts, you start to do things different. And some of you parents here will know. You know, I still try to as much as I can play basketball, and I used to play softball, and I used to do all that, and I used to be a lot younger too, but Now, I go over to my friend's house, Brother Roberts, and I look at their kitchen table, and instead of having the fine china out and the beautiful silverware, they've resorted to puzzles. Well, you young people are thinking, a puzzle. Who does puzzles? People that can't play basketball or softball anymore. That's who does puzzles. And I look there and I think about all my friends and they're doing puzzles. But, you know, I can see some pieces put together. And I can see some other pieces put together. And then I look over at another corner and those pieces are put together. And then over here in the other corner, those pieces are put together. But in the middle, there's a lot of missing pieces that still need to be put together. You know how I look at a puzzle? I look at our current world. There are pieces of it that are together. Maybe over here they got it together. And over here they got it together. But over here and over here they got it together. But in the middle are some mixed up, messed up pieces that need to be attached. Well, what is it they need to be attached to? Jesus Christ and the church. Listen, you want to figure the puzzle of this world out? Start connecting everybody you know to that Holy Ghost God gave you. Let me say that again. You want to figure out the problems of this world? Start attaching it to the Holy Ghost and the church and the blessings that God has gave you. That's what Nehemiah said. I'm going to sit here, I'm going to get to work, and I'm going to put this puzzle back together. And that's what he started to do. He started to put it back together. He started to piece by piece put it back together. Let me ask you this question. And this is big. As I said, I didn't grow up in Sunday school, so I'm blessed now to teach third and fourth grade Sunday school, and it's really awesome because, man, the kids are like, man, you taught that lesson so good, Brother Tim, and I'm thinking, I just learned that lesson last week. You're like, David and Goliath, well, yeah, I didn't grow up on David and Goliath. You know, I did have a big green bus that picked me up one time, took me to church. But other than that, I didn't really know a whole lot of Sunday school stories. But as I began to look at this story, something kind of popped out. Nehemiah was one man that wept and mourned and fasted for his city. Brother Roberts, where was everybody else? You can't tell me that hundreds of thousands of people didn't walk by that city every day and look and see the tattered and torn down walls and the gates that had been burned. Absolutely they did. Thousands of people, maybe hundreds of millions of people, walked by brokenness daily. They walked by hurting daily. They walked by walls that had been torn down daily. They walked by those gates that had been burned and had been melted daily, and they walked by. I can't imagine for how many years they just walked by brokenness and walked by brokenness, and they seen this brokenness and they seen this hurt and they seen this pain and they seen how bad off this city was, and they just kept walking, and they, until one day Nehemiah said, you know what? I'm tired of this brokenness. How many people do you walk by on a daily basis that are broken? Hundreds of thousands of people walk by those same people every single day. Don't bat an eye. Don't turn around. Don't look at them. They just walk by that brokenness. They walk by just like other people walk by that city every day and saw that brokenness, until a godly man named Nehemiah said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of my city looking like this. Where were all the other people? They saw the same thing Nehemiah saw. The problem with the world is they see everything as just like them, and you need to introduce them to someone just like God. Why did he bring me? Why did he bring Tim Stoltz? Why did he bring me to an altar? Why did he bring me to the church? Why did he put me in the position that he's put me in? I'll tell you why. Because every single day I put on this bow tie and this suit jacket and I walk into Barberton Middle School and I stand in front of a bunch of broken sixth graders. Kids that are going home to parents that put needles in their arm. Kids that go home to broken situations. Kids that go home to no mom and no dad. And I stand in front of them every day. I'm not going to just walk by them. I'm going to fall on my face. And I'm going to weep. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to fast. And I'm going to cry for them. Because I'm tired of people walking by other broken people and being okay with it. Get a burden for your lost world. Let them know who the answer in 2021 is. The answer has got to be Jesus. People, those young people, they come in and they say, Mr. Stoltz, how in the world? It's 6:45 and you're running around doing cartwheels. It's 3:15, Mr. Stoltz. You're on your 17th cup of coffee. What is wrong with you? What is different about you? Why are you so excited? Why are you so pumped up? I've never once seen you in a bad mood. It's the Jesus in me. It's the God in me. He's been too good to me for me to walk around with my head down in a pouty spirit. With my spirit broken. Why? Because I have a job. I'm glad my principal's not here today, Brother Roberts, because they might give me my walking papers. But the reality is my job is not to teach them one bit of science and social studies. My job is to one day, when they see me in the grocery store with my wife and my family on a Sunday afternoon, and they say, where are you coming from, Mr. Stoltz? And I say, you know what? You know where I'm coming from? I'm coming from church, because I believe in a God who saved me, and one day he'll do the same just for you. You want to know what you need to do in 2021? Get booze for the broken. I love my job. I love my job. It's the greatest job I've ever been given. The greatest opportunity I've ever been given. But the reality is, if I go there every day and just teach them science and social studies, I failed them. If your neighbor, if your coworker, if your neighbor, your coworker, the person you go to school with, the person you sit beside at Starbucks, the person you stand in line with next to Target, the person you have known for all these years, only know that you're happy just because you're happy, we're not doing a good enough job. Everybody, you know what? When you cut your neighbor's grass, God bless you, come cut mine too because I hate doing it. When you do that and they come over and they thank you, I think you need to flash back to Brother Tim Stoltz when he walked into Apostolic Church and somebody hugged me and told me they love me. You need to tell that person, I didn't cut your grass because I wanted extra exercise. I wanted to cut your grass because I wanted to do something for you. I wanted to show God's love. I wanted you to see the mercy of Jesus Christ that is in me that needs to live in you. That's what Nehemiah was all about. He said, you know what? I'm tired. My city is broken. And he got to work. Yes, I would say in 2021. And Apostolic Church of Barberton right now is figuring it out. We're getting ready to start an 8-day revival. It started this morning, and we're fixing to have 8 great moves of God. I believe in it, and I don't believe it's by accident that we're starting in January, because I believe that if this world needs anything, it needs a church on fire for Jesus Christ. In 2021, the church has got to be in revival. John F. Kennedy, quote unquote, the best looking president ever. He said this, one person can make a difference, and everyone should try. One person can make a difference, and everyone should try. God specializes in using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Nehemiah took a stand. He prayed. He had faith. And he went to the king asking for permission to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild his city. Imagine that. Pastor, would it be all right if I prayed for my city? Wow. Pastor, can I help out at the church? Yeah. Pastor, can I carry around the offering plate? Yes. Pastor, do you mind if I help clean up the church? Yes. But when was the last time people got on fire and they went to their pastor and said, Pastor, can I pray for my neighbor? Can I pray for my coworker? Can I pray for my city? That's what Nehemiah did. He went to the king and said, if it be all right, I'd like to rebuild my city. Barberton, Ohio, Summit County, is the number one city in America for heroin overdoses. In America, the Summit County morgue has a semi truck parked out front, a refrigerated cooler, because they have so many heroin overdoses. This is my city! This is where I live. I teach recovery on Wednesday nights in that same city, in the city of Barberton, where the morgue is so full they have to bring a refrigerated cooler to keep bodies in. Why? God, can I be like Nehemiah, where I fall on my face and I pray for my city because they're broken. Their kids are broken. Who's going to break the cycle? Who's going to teach them there's something different? Who's going to show them the way? Who's going to love them? Who's going to fast for them? Who's going to weep for them? I tell you, it needs to be in 2021, the church of the living God, the Pentecostal, apostolic, Bible-believing people of God. That's who God needs to use. I'm not okay with everything just being okay. It's not okay to be okay. Everything can't be okay. And Nehemiah, he said, you know what? If no one else is doing it, I'm going to take it upon myself. It's what we do. It's what we do as people. We think to ourselves, well, someone else will get to it. Someone else will do it. Oh, well, that sister in the third row 4 weeks ago, she prophesied in the spirit. She'll get to it. Oh, well, that guy, he teaches Bible studies. Maybe he'll tell my neighbor. You know who's in your circle of influence? The people God wants you to save. He didn't bring them into your life for me to save them. I'll help you. I'm on board with you. He put them in your life for you to save them. That's why they're in your circle of influence. He placed them there so you could share the Holy Ghost with them. He placed them there so you could tell them about Jesus Christ. He put them in your circle so you could save them. But you got to be like Nehemiah and say, you know what? I'm going to take a stand and I'm going to be bruised for the broken. Couldn't help but think, when I began to prepare this message, why in the world would I, who has been saved, who has been called into ministry, who God has blessed, who God has been good to, who God has brought a mighty long way, why would I be bruised for the broken? I'll tell you why. It's real simple. When God was on that cross, the Bible says he was bruised for you. That's what the word, not Preacher Tim today, not Pastor Tim today, not Evangelist Tim today, not Pastor Roberts, not the sound guy, not the webcast guy. The Bible says that when God, he was bruised for your iniquities, and it would be selfish, dear God. It would be selfish of me if I would take advantage of God's bruising for me and not be willing to share it with somebody else. It would be selfish of the church to take advantage of the whips that Jesus took, of the thorns they put on his head, of the spit they put on him, of talking about his family and the mockery and the bruising that he suffered and everything he endured. When they whipped him, he had you on his mind. The Bible says such were some of you. When he was on that cross and they whipped him and they mocked him and they bruised him, that was for you and it was for me, but it was for me so I could share it with everyone else. It's a mockery. It's shameful. It's wrong when I think of how good God has been to me. How blessed God has blessed me. How awesome it is that I get to be a funnel. Whew. I got to sit back there as the songs begin to play. And as the worship begin to walk through this place. And as Pastor Roberts began to do the Bible study. I got to be a funnel back there. And sit back there in my seat. And I lifted my hands and tears begin to fall from. I get to be a funnel for Jesus Christ every time I step into his presence. I get to absorb his goodness. I get to think about how good he's been to me. I get to rejoice. I get to shout. I get to dance. I get to speak in tongues. I get to be a funnel every time I'm in the presence of God. Aren't you thankful for that? Let me ask you one more time. Aren't you thankful you get to funnel the goodness and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ? Yes. Yeah. But how many holes are on a funnel? One on top, one on the bottom. Because as much as you get to sit there and funnel in all the goodness of God and all the mercies of God and the grace of God and his everlasting love and his mercies and his grace, guess what they get to do? They should funnel through us. They should funnel right through you into someone else. And that's what Nehemiah said. God, you've been good to me. God, you've anointed me. God, you've blessed me. God, you've kept me. Now it's my turn to bless somebody else. And that's what Nehemiah did. He stood there and he started blessing his city. What do I want to do in 2021? I want to set revival on fire in Barberton. I want to have an upper room experience in Barberton. I want to have an Azusa Street revival in my city. I don't see why tomorrow morning the whole city of Brunswick can't be on fire. But it's going to take somebody like Nehemiah falling on their face, weeping and saying, you know what? I am bruised for the broken. There is no greater story that has ever been written. Some of you will tell you it's Shakespeare. Some of you will tell you it's Thoreau. Someone will tell you it's some great writer that lived a long time ago. Maybe it was Dickens. Maybe it was Mark Twain. But the greatest story that had ever been written is the story that God wrote on Calvary's cross when he bled there and he died there. And we're able every single day of our lives to share the story of Jesus Christ. I want you to imagine with me for a moment this being the book of my life. This being the book of my life. Here, Brother Roberts. Don't open it. Here. This is the book of my life, but don't open it. Here. Don't open it. All of us, we carry a book in our lives every single day. And sometimes we're around people and we don't even open it to let them read it. No. Here, go ahead and open that. This is the part where I read that said, all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Oh, this is the part that said, oh, all have sinned. Oh, and this is the part where, oh, the Holy, oh, you mean to tell me the Holy Ghost is real? You mean to tell me someone died for me? Oh, you were what? You were in jail? You grew up without a mom? You grew up without a dad? Your brother's in prison? What? All that's true? Yeah. All that's true. Don't carry around a book with you every day if you ain't willing to let somebody open it and read it. God has been good to you. God has blessed you. He has saved you. He has sanctified you. And like Nehemiah, he has called you to rebuild your city, to become bruised for the broken. A story is told about a man. His name is Robert Blankenship, and I'm closing. Who is Robert Blankenship? None of you have ever heard of him. I don't think, at least. Robert Blankenship was a man. He was sitting on his couch. And he looked outside of his window. And he saw a little girl floating in a river. And that river began to get really quickly. Go really quick. And he saw that little girl flailing. Throwing her hands up. Screaming, "Help! Help! I need help!" And those waters just came pouring down, and she began to go down and come back up. It's a true story. It's happened here in Avon, Ohio. Ray Blankenship knew that about a couple feet down, there was a drop off. And he knew. He knew that if he didn't get that girl before that drop off, she'd be gone forever. He had two choices: to sit there in his house or to run out and dive in. So Ray, he ran out. He dived in. He swam as fast as he went as fast as he could, and he got over to that little girl. And they both begin now to go down that river together. Her in his arm. Him in her arms, scared, worried, afraid. But there was a branch that Ray saw. And Ray thought to myself, if I could just get us to the branch, I could save us both. So Ray, he tried as hard as he could. And he reached over and he finally got to that branch. And he hung there and he clung on for dear life with that little girl. And he hung on to that with those rapids coming down for 3 long hours. Finally, the paramedics came and they helped Ray and that young girl. They helped them get to shore. And Ray was credited. They gave him a medal, a silver medal for bravery, because he saved that little girl. And when they presented Ray with that medal, he reminds me of my walk with God. They said, "Ray, how do you feel now that you saved that little girl's life by holding on to that branch?" Ray, to the surprise of everyone, he shocked them that day. The Cleveland Plain Dealer was surprised when Ray simply said the words, "I can't even swim." Your world, your family, your city, your loved ones are just a couple feet away from falling over. And we're worried about whether or not we can swim. But Ray said, if I could just get both of us to a long, sticking out piece of wood, I could save us both. What a story. What a tremendous story that Ray thought to himself, if I could cling to an old piece of wood in this river, I could save us both. If I could get a sinner to cling with me to an old cross called Calvary that's swimming in the river of everlasting life, I could save us both. No, Tim. No, Pastor. Guess what? You don't need to be able to swim. You don't need to be a spiritual Jedi. You don't have to have your grade or a doctor put next to your name. You don't have to have a mister next to your name. You don't have to have a missus, a doctorate, a PhD. You don't need to have anything next to your name. You need to just be willing to be like Ray, who sat on his couch that day and saw a drowning world. And he said, you know what? I've got to do something about it. Your world. Today, I don't need to tell you. You're smart enough. You're bright and brilliant and good-looking people. You know this world is drowning. Who cares if you can't swim? Get up. Be like Nehemiah. Fall on your face. Weep. And listen. Whew. The greatest part of that story is Ray got himself a reward. They put that medal around his neck. And he stood there as they began to take pictures at the Cleveland Plain Dealer of Ray Blankenship with this medal around his neck. Guess what, folks? You and I are going to one day pass away from this earth, and we're going to stand before God, and he's going to have an opportunity to place a medal around your neck, and it's either going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you know what? The person you saved can be standing right beside you, and God can put a medal around their neck and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the opportunity you and I are presented with today. So the question is, are you bruised for the broken? But the answer is Jesus Christ. God saved you so you could save somebody else. Why don't we stand tonight in this place? I thought about good old Ray. And I thought about my own life. So I guess I would have been the popular kid in high school, I guess. I played football. I was on homecoming court. I don't know that you guys knew it or not, but I was voted class clown my senior year. I guess I was a little bit goofy at the time. That made it more difficult for the church to love me, but they did anyways. But I thought about Ray. And I thought about how I sometimes in my life, when I was early on in my Christianity, I was embarrassed to tell other people that I was saved. I would get right to the edge of inviting them to church. I would get right to that moment. I would get right so close to the river. I would be standing right at the edge of the riverbank, and my friends would be drowning. And I was too afraid to jump in. 3 years ago, I did the funeral of my best friend who overdosed on heroin. A couple years before that, my best friend in high school shot and killed himself in the head. I was right there at the riverbank. I'm like Ray Blankenship, who saw that little girl. He didn't even know her. He said, you know what? I'm tired of standing on the side of the river. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to go all in. I'm going to swim out there. I'm going to go out there as far as I can because I want to save a life. How many of us have tiptoed at the edge of the riverbanks and our friends are passing away and our loved ones are passing away and our friends and our people and our coworkers, we go right to the edge of the riverbank, but we don't jump in. I know that was me one time. I'm here to tell you, in 2021, it's time. you get your feet wet. It's time you jump in, you dive in, you go in head first, because we need revival in America. We need a move of God in America. We need more Jesus in America. Are you bruised for the broken? God bless you today.
Why don't we come to this altar and just dive in today? Dive in head first. They're hurting. They're lost. They're drowning. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus is here right now. He can help you. He can give you courage today. He can give you what you need to reach your friend, your family. He can give you that strength you need to make it to that alone. Come on, Jesus wants to give his glory. Yeah. and make a new commitment to Jesus.
My God is mighty to save.
I hold out to you.
He is mighty to save.
I'm holding out to you.
Forever. Offer us salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Joy. I'm here because somebody didn't worry about the rain, didn't worry about the nasty weather. They went out to tell somebody what Jesus could do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're a living witness. Amen. Thank you, brother. We got a job to do, folks. Amen. This thing's bigger than us. You're the answer. You have it inside of you. You may may not know how to tell it. You may not know even how to swim. But if you'll trust Jesus, He can do anything through you. You just gotta go. You just gotta just like them priests did with that ark. They just stepped into the water. And the waters parted. God will make a way. If you're willing. You got it in you. All you got to do is just take it to them. And hang on. Hang on. He'll make it happen. Praise God. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Greet one another. Get to know those that are our guests here today. Please come back. Bring someone with you. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name.